living in an artificially induced state of consciousness that resembles sleep. The poor and the underclass are growing. Racial justice and human rights are non-existent. We have been lulled into a trance. They have made us indifferent to ourselves, to others. We are focused only on our own gain. That is their primary method of survival. Keep us asleep, keep us selfish, keep us sedated.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Here's your host, Michael Storm.
Welcome to Toward Anarchy. I am Michael Storm. Thank you so much for joining me. As always, I'm here live every Sunday, 1 p.m. Central Standard Time, all around the world. Thanks to the good graces of the Republic Broadcasting Network and all of you listeners who support the network. It's always my pleasure to be here each week to chat with you and bring you some interesting topics and ideas, some things that come up in my own life. I have one of those today, in fact, and it I'm sure it will come up in our conversation with our guest today. If you go to towardanarchy.com, as always, you can follow along. It's just my perfect little slice of the internet that I've carved out for myself, where if you go there and you're interested in one of the shows, if you're here with me live right now, you just click right on the date, or you search for the name of the guest using the episodes button and the search function that's in there. It's all really neat and functional, and it provides me this little connection to the rest of the world where I can share all of my and it's not inside the Facebook world. I use the Facebook world and Twitter and Instagram and things like that to push the website and talk about the website a little bit, but it is my own space. Nobody comes on there and tells me what I can or can't do or say there. I can post any video I want, and any audio I want. I can post any opinion I want, and nobody tells me I can't. And it's just always this wonderful thing that I have, this tool that I have at my fingertips, that I can manipulate any time and reach the entirety of the world. And we do. I sit there and I look at some of the stats and things through it, and these shows, my conversations with Dr. Dean Lloyd, who'll join us here in just a second, and all the other fantastic guests that I have on here are listened to all around the world, not just now during live a performance across the network, but then again through the website and through the streaming sites. And it's just fantastic. It's a really neat thing to see, and so I'm humbled by it all, but I don't fritter and waste the opportunity. I take full advantage of it and really try to show you me and what I think works. The things that I think that work for me and would make the world a better place. You know, I'm kind of mad. I'm going to have to discuss this with Dr. Lloyd. If you go to towardanarchy.com, we'll do that. We'll get him in here in just a second. Look for September 24th. That's where I am in my world right now. And you will see that Dr. Dean Lloyd, indeed, facilitator, healer, trained in multiple traditions and with a lifelong goal to help individuals connect body, mind, and spirit, and to shape and guide their health decisions, both, you know, mental and physical, and to fundamentally sort of challenge and change that face of the modern healthcare system that we face when we could go through something like we have the last few years, let alone as individuals in our own individual healthcare needs, and man, they just don't address a lot of things, and it's his goal, lifelong goal, to find out why and to help them solve that problem and help people really truly heal and begin to heal themselves and use the tools that we have innately and that we can share with each other that we don't have, that we can cultivate through the relationships and through conversations such that we have each week. If you'd like to know more about Dr. Dean Lloyd, you can follow his work on evolvingthespecies.com. And you can also get a copy of Cruising the Epiphany Highway, the book by Am Rosen, that Dr. Dean Lloyd and I spend a lot of time sort of chatting about conversations within. And you'll hear Dr. Lloyd change tone sometimes. And when he's not speaking as himself, he'll grab a passage out of the book. And you can tell when he's reading something out of the book versus what he's saying himself. And that book is there. It's available in a digital format. And it's a really interesting and neat book. And it's one of the reasons why I've enjoyed talking with Dr. Lloyd, because I know that he finds some very interest and value in a lot of the same things. We're both musicians and we both are empaths and we both are guilty of giving people more credit than they deserve a lot of times. You could also follow us in real time on the Chat and Go system. There's a link for that up there as well. And I shared a couple other links, some things that I found interesting, poignant, important this week. The sort of tit for tat of democracy that I talk about in this, the battle between the different versions of socialism and control of the ill-gotten gains of theft, the taxation. It continues, and there was an interesting article that just popped up yesterday for me. It may have been there a couple of days, whatever, but I just saw it yesterday. And it's just a couple of political pundits taking jabs at each other. One had written a book, and some other leftists or something, some other guy, well, someone who claims they're not a leftist, but is clearly arguing from a leftist perspective. And they're just arguing about which one of them is a bigger tyrant, which one of them is worse in their tyranny than the other, as if it was if any level of tyranny was a good thing at all. And it's summed up. The entire article. It's funny that it worked out this way. I've had this meme for a couple of weeks and hadn't shared it yet because it's just that the season, it's the election season, and it's on everybody's mind and people are talking about it, and this meme there relates to it, and it so fits so well with this article that I just had to stop and laugh myself there for a second. And the meme had already brought a smile to my face because it's Ralph from The Simpsons. If you don't know these things, I apologize. You'll have to go see the thing for yourself. It's a little special kid on a bus by himself, and he's talking about the power abuses by his party are fine when his party is in control. I talk about this all the time. This is very dangerous, very dangerous. Anything that one side does, the other side comes back and has to double down on. You know, they have to one-up them. And I love this split meme here. This is a geek thing. I'm sorry, and it may or may not come across, but I just loved it because I get a sort of two for one. I of course love The Simpsons and have seen, I'm sure, every episode of it, and have been watching it since the day it came on. And it makes me laugh, and it's just a fantastic, you know, 20 minutes of my time spent. I really enjoy it, and so a Simpsons meme. I'm there. You got me. And then it's sort of split up and it changes. And as it transitions, there's a one election later. So power abuses by my party are fine. Ralph, the special child, is saying this. And then one election later, and it's in, and I can't do it. One election later. I see, I can't even do it. It's been a while since I heard it. You have to picture it in a certain, you hear it in a certain voice because it's the SpongeBob transition, another great cartoon. They would transition one election later or earlier in the day, or so. And there was a weird voice that would say it. And I'm sorry, I told you it might not come across. But that's why you have to go there to towardanarchy.com and look and see the thing for yourself. So power abuses by your party when it's in control is perfectly fine. But then the next election, everybody's crying and worrying and sort of whistling in the dark about how they're in danger. Well, we're all in danger from the election cycle. There's no question about that. There's a couple other links up there as well. I am angry, Dr. Lloyd, and it's unfortunate because it shouldn't have to be. I'm not even just a little bit angry. I'm kind of pissed off. And it's not you. I live in this society, in a society where supposedly we're supposed to be this a great, wonderful, advanced. We're super intelligent and working on evolving ourselves into a new spiritual enlightenment and blah blah blah. And the reality is that our society is collapsing right before our very eyes. It's getting worse and worse by the day. Especially if you are somebody who has to deal with the public, and if you're out in it every day and you're actually dealing with the public. I don't mean passing through it on your way to work. I'm talking about dealing with it every single day, and being out in it and seeing it. And I know not everybody gets a chance to do this. Not everybody has the ability to do this because they work every day and their time is taken up and they are in an office somewhere or something like that. And they don't necessarily deal with that outside world. And so they only have this sort of Overton window view of the world that they get from their phone or their TV or whatever. And that's not what I'm talking about. Those people aren't going to understand. Those are going to be those people that are just going to go on as if the way things are going is fairly normal, or they're going to be, you know, hyped in a particular direction toward whatever bent their news source is on, you know, whatever direction they're bent towards. And what's happened is that as it's collapsing, as the society is collapsing, people are much more desperate. They're becoming more desperate, and they're becoming more brazen in their attitude toward everyone. And so when you talk about a criminal element, it's considerably worse than even just normal people having to deal with each other and eventually being sick of each other's crap and, you know, maybe losing it on somebody. Whereas you have a wanton a group of individuals who are bent on not giving a damn about the people around them and taking advantage of them at every step. And we are supposed to, in America, have rights, and those rights are related to property and to protection of our property and ourself, and we don't have them. They don't really exist. And so I'm pissed off because I have to live in fear, and I'm not a big guy or anything. I'm about 5'9", I weigh about 150 pounds. I'm not overweight. I'm not bean pole. I'm just a normal guy. But I carry a large firearm, and I always have. I'm not afraid of people. I'm not afraid of things. What I'm afraid of is that I can't trust anybody anymore, and it's the state's fault. And I can't even have a customer come into my store and me not be concerned about whether or not they're there to grab $1,000 worth of my product and run right out the goddamn door.
It's a situation I'm familiar with. I had a health food store years and years ago, and the theft was so bad that we had to look at everybody as being a possible thief. I completely can understand the position that you are in, because the fear level has gone up so much because people are in desperate mode, and the momentum has been building for quite a while. We already know a lot of the mechanisms that are involved. Some of them have been hidden from us until it's too late, and then we find out, you know, later that like with the so-called vaccine, that these injuries are happening when we weren't informed about what was in the recipe, right? Okay. So here people are at a weakened state. They are unaware of the dangers that they're facing. And with that, they cling to their fears more so. Okay. It's there's a story I like to give where I notice this a lot in the elderly, where they come to me as patients looking to get help from their arthritis pain or insomnia or incontinence with the, or you know, any of these issues that are not working for them in their allopathic world, okay? And they look at these other options. They're not alternatives, they're options. And to examine them closely, if they're too depleted or if they're too deficient, perhaps nutritionally, or not mentally capable of taking on the information, they revert more. They go back to their fears with more vigor. They, in other words, will take on the recommendation of the doctor that is guiding them in that particular way of perceiving it, rather than look at other options with taking more control of their situation. Now, if they're in an emergency, obviously, that means that they need emergency care, right? But to get stronger, to be more competent, have more vitality, more mental clarity, have all these wonderful things to access, you won't get that with allopathic medicine. It doesn't work like that. It's based on symptom foundation. It's a symptom foundation related medicine, where we look at our symptoms and how do you ameliorate or alleviate those symptoms with allopathic medicine. It's fear-based, but there's so much really brilliant ways of testing for things, but just how good is the diagnosis with the testing? How competent are these people in understanding the mind-body experience? So in your situation of being afraid of others, I'll just put it out there that you're just you're sensitive to what's going on around you, which puts you in a less, I would say, capable way of redirecting the energy for others. In other words, if you are in a position where yourself, you're calm, you're collected, I myself say, you know, when people are trying to push my buttons, they get really frustrated because they can't do it. I don't have any buttons to push. And that puts them in a place of, how am I going to find a way to get into this, in this mind, this man who's put himself in a position where he's put it all out there. He put it all on the line. He's not holding back. He's giving it 100%. And they don't understand most of the time. They won't see me and understand what that looks like because they've never seen it before, never dealt with people like that. So what you're in a position of knowing, and your anger is, I'll just say that it's an emotion where, thank you for that break, Skiff. Thank you. You're in a position where you are picking up on how uncomfortable they are with themselves, right? And anger is when you don't know how you feel, okay? That is a very important part of your growth, too, because you're being challenged right now. You're put in a position where you know something they don't, and they are not open to what you have to offer that will help them. I'm constantly dealing with that, Michael, all right? And your way of navigating how you put yourself in a position of being empowered is part of your challenge. Your challenge is to collect your energy and not allow it to escape. What was that movie? I may have mentioned this before, but it was a great scene. I think it was a Bruce Lee movie where he was fighting off these three ninjas. They were coming after him in all levels, and he was cutting them off one after the other. And he goes into this this temple someplace, and he jumps around and he's flipping and he's turning and he's avoiding all the, you know, the attacks at him. But he realizes that the assault is too much. So he goes into the next room, and it's closed off. there's all the windows are shutting behind him. The door is locked in, and boom, you hear the slamming sound. And he, what does he do? He knows he can't fight. So he goes in the center of the room and he meditates. He becomes perfectly still and he waits for any move that will happen around him, because he'll respond at what comes after him. So he meditates and waits and waits, and the ninjas position themselves on top. And so they're about to jump on top of him. And just at the very moment that the window opens and an arrow is shot right at him, he bends down and picks up a feather, and it goes right over his head. Now, that is the ninja attack, right? But the master who can understand energy all around him, where he can take these different just negative influences around him, be it the negative pollution, be it negative people, a lot of that energy that's, floating around. And we can navigate ourselves through that, but and realizing when we see it, it's either time to get the heck out of there, and run away. It's a more important way of honing in your skills right now. So I would put your attention not feeding that negative emotion, because you're realizing, and that's a very good thing that you know that about yourself, I might add. Because if you don't know that you're having these feelings that are negatively influenced, then it controls you and it drains your energy. Anger is a draining energy. Fear is a draining energy. Worry.
Oh, it just sucks the life right the hell out of you, and it sucks any enjoyment that you might have in a moment. We're talking specifically in this situation about this in a retail space, and so I'm there with customer service in mind, and helping the customer solve their wants and their needs. They've come into my store. They want or need to look around or to find a particular issue or to find a particular card for their game or whatever it is. And of course, I'm attuned to that, and I'm there with the idea that I'm there to facilitate. It's all the same thing. Healing, dealing with people, love life relationships, business relationships. They're all the same thing, and so all these things are going to sound exactly the same. But it's in this particular setting where there's this hyper awareness about what your role is, who you are supposed to be in this situation, and what it reflects on in terms of the rest of your business and your livelihood as you go forward. And you have strangers and different people, different faces that you've never seen before, and they're constantly coming in, and you don't know because you've had these experiences, and you've had these experiences over and over again, not just in this retail setting, not just in this space, but with people in general. And you've already come to realize that you have to be in a certain defensive position with yourself and in particular strangers. And you already don't want to be, you're not trying to be a menace. You're not trying to be a figure. In fact, I'm trying to go relatively unnoticed. And I want to, if the customer comes in, they want my help. I just want to be there for them to do that. But if I'm sitting there worried about the idea that I can't trust this person, that this person is not here for my help, this person is not here to solve wants and needs. They're here to hurt me. They're here to take my property. And so it completely screws up that entire relationship, that entire potential relationship, and that's not a good thing at all in any situation, but certainly in this retail environment where I'm trying to cultivate repeat customers.
What about all the thievery going on in places like at Staples or shopping?
It's insane.
It's because it's been allowed, and people have
right.
not been trained.
Thank you. Thank you for saying that, because this has been my argument all along. If the norm were that people were empowered to protect themselves and their property. I'm not just talking about everybody should wild, wild west it up in here and blow each other away every time somebody steps on a goddamn toe or a sneaker, you know. I'm just talking about if we were empowered as a people, as individuals, to defend ourselves and our property, and that our so-called leaders and our government and these people that are supposed to be also benevolent and out for our best interests were the ones to cultivate that, we wouldn't have problems with that. People would think twice before they tried to steal from someone, not to mention the fact that the government wouldn't be involved in all of our business and all of our economics, causing the problem that causes the insecurity, that causes these scumbags to seek alternative means to fund their existence through theft from me. Hell, they got a great example in the government itself.
Yeah, and this is a good time to sharpen your psychic sword. You're sharpen your psychic muscle. You're becoming more aware of what you're dealing with, because the culture has been in a state of fear that's escalated, right? You know, we've got people that don't know what's going on with them, you know, neurologically, immunologically, psychologically, they've been attacked. And these are the most sinister of all types of attacks. I mean, when you know what your enemy is, like here comes, you know, the next, you know, bombing or something like that, you know, it's coming from an opposing, you know, an enemy that's, you know who your enemy is. But this has gone under the it's been a stealth war. We can't see these electromagnetic frequencies. We can't see what's being dropped on us from chemtrails. We can't see what is in these, vaccines. We're not given, the drug interactions are not clear in terms of what these symptoms are, because you'll have an endless, you know, collection of symptoms, right? But unless you understand the mechanism of how these things work, it'll always be chasing your tail. You'll never get anywhere. You'll never break the cycle. And to do that, and that's one of the reasons we have the show today, is we're going to talk about how you commit or put yourself in a position of being empowered to give it everything you've got. How do you reach getting to that place of 100%, 100%, 24/7, all about consciousness, the creator, however you want, whatever you want to call it. It's your ability to step in to the position of being empowered, and how do you obtain that power is unique to all of us, right? Where do we gain the knowledge? In my case, it was medicine. If I had to find what was being fed to me in med school that was completely false and what was real. Okay. I had to be very discerning in terms of making a distinction on what was, you know, the real thing and what was BS. That took a lot of work, because it was such a powerful institution that I had to go against what I saw everybody else was buying into. So you can imagine, those of us that have stepped into that place, how we had to be very careful with ourselves to determine whether or not we were going to reinforce the fear-based mechanism that was being fed us, or we were going to step into something better.
Hey, oh, I don't envy your position, any of you, because yours is a real position as a doctor, as someone who has put yourself out there purposely to help others and need to be open and honest about these things. I don't envy that, being put in that situation, having to, because I can buck the system, I can buck the trends, I can go with the, you know, the with or against the pop culture thing, the favorite thing, the favorite thing. It doesn't matter. It doesn't hurt anybody. There's no, you know, I'm not that person who has a responsibility to other people, and you are. So the weight of making the decision to go against the system and to try to change it is an amazing thing that I can't imagine having to deal with personally. We got to slip into a break here, and we'll be right back with Dr. Dean Lloyd. Oh,
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
This is Elizabeth McCabe, a.k.a. Lucky One of Truth Frequency News. I wanted to tell you all about Extendivite from HeartDrop.com. Y'all know I check everything before I air it. When I heard about Extendivite on TFR, I went to HeartDrop.com and started my research. It's got cayenne. That's good for blood and circulation. It stimulates the blood flow. It's got garlic, which fights bacteria like antibiotics, and it lowers the cholesterol and blood pressure. It also has milk thistle, which is the best detox for liver. I couldn't wait to try it out, and I'm glad I did 4 months ago. And here's obvious results. My hands and feet don't get cold anymore. The varicose veins have faded too. My wrists don't hurt after typing all day. Now, I tell you all this because it's true and I want you to really live life. Try Extendivite. Go to heartdrop.com and order it.
Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid. Call now. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
We want information. Information. Information.
Who are you?
The new number two.
Who is number one?
You are number six.
I am not a number. I am a free man.
You're listening to Toward Anarchy with Michael Storm.
Myself and Dr. Dean Lloyd, a huge favor and support the network. We couldn't do this. We couldn't come here each week and have these conversations if it wasn't for you. And the easiest way to do that is go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on the donate button. There are a number of different options. Telephone, if you want to talk to somebody. Otherwise, just go through the digital process as we all do every day now in this world of wonderful clicky technology. click, 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 click. It's just as easy as the click of a button. If that doesn't do it for you, there's that win-win situation. ShopRBN.com is where you find that, and that's where you just go there. You buy the products. You support those people who advertise across the network. It's just such a simple idea. It's been working for thousands of years, or at least since Marconi, somewhere around in there, once somebody figured out that you could monetize your voice after that radio thing was invented. But they'll sell you on Marconi. He's familiar, but a phony. It was Edison, right? I don't know about that. but that's what the Tesla song says. Dr. Lloyd is with me as he does each month, and we're just having one of these wonderful conversations. And as always, it ties together. There's no real particular effort on my part. Dr. Dean Lloyd puts a hell of a lot of effort into the things that he does. Even our weekly show here, he puts together all the show notes and everything, and all the information that goes along, and it really is doing things like that all throughout the week. I get a number of emails of things that he's doing throughout the week, and it's really cool that you take your time to come here and chat with me each week about these things and how they all just sort of tie together in the things that I really want to talk about, and I really want other people to understand, whether I understand them about myself or not, and generally I do, and am always working to try and understand more. But I want the people that hear the show to believe 100% that I know that the things that we talk about, the ideas that we discuss, I believe truly work, that they're not just something, they're not just ideas that you've been floating around or that guy's been floating around for a long time, but that these are things that exist throughout history and throughout medicine and throughout the understanding of the individual into religious traditions, psychological traditions, maybe not as good. I think it's fantastic that we're able to do this each week and to go all the way, and that's your conversation today. And I just love how it tied in with the empowering, because we're so weak, we're so beaten down, we're like whipped dogs, just sort of whimpering in the corner for a little bit of scraps at this point. From everything around it, it's just the society, the government, the manipulations, the environment, the poisons that they're trying to push on us through their controls. The whole thing can just be not empowering. And the idea that we should be able to stand up for ourselves and to take on these things and to go all the way. I think it's important for people to understand this. So you and I click. We're on this thing.
Yeah, I want to add to what you had mentioned earlier that we have some simpatico. There's empathic. We're both musicians, but we're also, I'd just like to add to it. I'd like to say we're also students of life. And when we put ourselves in that position, saying, "Look, I really do not know how to handle this situation." And by putting yourself in power, by first admitting that you don't know, that gives you the opportunity to be a student of life. And I'm constantly learning, Michael. And you're saying that there's so many people that are out there that are disempowered. Well, my job is to, as a healer facilitator, and giving you that knowledge means that I have to bear the responsibility, able to respond, the responsibility to explain how it works, under what conditions, under any what circumstances, and what's involved, and give you an answer that applies, right? I'm not going to do this half-cocked. I'm going to go into it, but if I know what I'm dealing with, and I have clear understanding of it, I have control of it. Now,
well, there's a ton of things to consider when we're talking about this going all the way, putting 100% effort into it. And I really, I like the idea. I'd like to talk about the idea of people setting themselves up to fail, are they being set up to fail, or are they subconsciously setting themselves up to fail? I noticed that you had pointed those things out as something that you wanted to particularly discuss this weekend, and I believe that we're so guilty of it ourselves because of that same problem, that we're whipped, we're defeated, we haven't been empowered, and so we don't know our limitations, and we don't know what our limitations aren't, and we set ourselves up for failure. So I could just think, it's another one of these retail things that I think of, situations that I've been in over the years, watching people set people up for failure. There's just such a correlation there.
Yeah, and it takes a little heart and a little courage. Love does not come to those who don't have either. Or you have to put it out there. Reminding yourself of what you're doing there and why is a big, big question we should all ask ourselves in any situation. Truly, you're in a retail place where you do see people constantly that you're not familiar with. You have to be quick about your assessment if they're a risk, right? You do your own kind of analysis based on the short time that you have, and you are constantly weighing out, you know, what's important and what isn't, and directing, you know, your energy in places that need to be where they need to be. And so what I oftentimes will come in contact with people who, when they're looking for some help, it may be at a comic book or a game, or if they're coming to me for medical advice or healing advice, because healing is about becoming aware. And if you are, I'll give you just a quick story to illustrate the point. Dr. Rosen and I, Am Rosen and I, we made a pact, and that pact was all or nothing, 100%, not half-cocked. We were either going to do this or not. And to make that, it changed my perspective. I had someone that was a partner with me in life. I had a spiritual brother. I had someone who I could connect with who saw me. I had a rare thing, because I was able to communicate with him on anything I came up with. I didn't have to hold back. It was an experience that I can share with others, because they have the opportunity to come to me and ask me how something works. And it's related to the mind. I'm pretty good at it. But I don't want to make it like it's all about me. It's not. This is about us, and if we don't connect on these levels, you're going to see what you're seeing all around you. You're going to see destruction. You're going to see lack of trust. You're going to see a breakdown on all these levels, because we're not psychologically integrated by being a cohesive unit. We're fragmented, and that means that it will continue to, it'll be, you know, you invest in something and you reach a point. I think your partner you had like last year, you were trying to separate from, that was, you realized there were diminishing returns on that. And
it, that's one way of putting it.
Yeah. You know, and you just kept getting to a place where you were both at an impasse, right? And you had to take a step. You had to step in. Well, I have a saying. The saying goes, I won't go where I'm not welcome or wanted, but if I am, I'll give it my best.
Yeah.
So when you are empowering yourself, you're also taking on the responsibility of saying that you're in it. You may lean towards doing something else. You can kind of test the waters, right? You might say, well, you know, this worked for me this one time.
Oh, right. And that's the point of not setting yourself up to fail, is that you have to be able to sort of experiment with things. And even if you don't know what you want, that was another point that you made, is that even if you don't know what you want, you can experiment. And that way you don't set yourself up for failure by choosing something that ultimately you don't want, can't accomplish, aren't ready for yet, whatever the case may be.
Yeah, and that's part of our opening the space for ourselves, because you may have been, you know, forced as a kid to go to school or to attend, a party you didn't want to go to, or go to a meeting with your parent or something like that. You were forced to be drug along. You had to go, you know, you didn't want to do it. Well, and the older you got, the more aware you became of how much power you had in making decisions for yourself. Now, we've all done things that we regret. There are times and places where we put ourselves in position of being vulnerable, perhaps. And if we have good counsel, or if we have someone that's a support to us, that's always helpful. But I didn't always have that. And I don't think everybody out there has been in a place where they've always had support, right? You had to do the solo dance at some point. And when you do that, there's a really wonderful saying. It's a Japanese proverb that speaks to the concept of being resilient. And that is, I fell 8 times and got up 9 times, you know, and in the instance, no matter how many times you get knocked down, you must get up. That, and even though you should fall 1,000 times, you must keep trying and trying again. Well, I get the feeling that there is a kind of, there's a kind of pattern, and I'll use the media as an example. The radio show host, Michael Rivero, said, I took this quote from him. He said, well, at first you don't succeed, lie again, you know, and I agree with it. It's a nice, you have to laugh at what's being presented.
Yes.
We are being presented with such absurdity that it causes one to say, okay, you know, I draw the line. I've had enough, obviously. You know, I'll know that they're saying things that don't make a bit of sense.
And look at all these people, these progressive, these sort of touchy-feely people who don't get this idea. This is a long-running concept. It was a you take it back to tribal times and where this sort of jester or you know, the fool, the entertainer of the tribe was absolutely required to pick on the people in power. That there was no question that you couldn't pick on the king or the queen. Obviously, that changed over time. But I'm talking tribal. I'm not talking about organized Europeans. They'd off with their heads. You know, the jester's head would be on a pike. But prior to that, here in America, Indian tribes and natural indigenous tribes, God forbid I offend somebody, would have, you know, their meetings, their groupings, their gatherings and celebrations, and the entertainer would come out, and if you weren't able to make fun of a thing, people wondered why. They wanted to know why. Why can't I understand? Why can't I laugh at this? Why can't we make fun of this? Everything can be made fun of.
Yeah, I'll say, if you can't laugh at yourself, you're doomed.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this point about that you're making about how tribalism works, right? What we have our challenges. You know, in nature, you'll have the two bucks fight it out to see who's top. You know, the alpha, right? The head. What we're facing is that because people are so accustomed to giving their power away, they don't know how to have it for themselves.
Mm.
They're not trained that way. You know, it's that subconscious pattern that is inbred to us that we're not competent.
But that's the goal of government, right? That's what it's supposed to do, to keep itself in business, because it fosters that environment. It creates that environment. It puts us in the position where we are. So what it has to do is defend us and protect us. And then it has an excuse for why it's this cycle, this circle, this repeating until it busts, until it all explodes. And we're at a point in history, and we're at a point in time where people are as disconnected from reality as they're ever going to be, and they have no concept of how easy it is to control them and how easy it will be to collapse even the weakest, sorriest of potentially great systems like democracy and America into this one world government, this closed off controlled system of a very limited number of people in control of everything, and a very limited number of people in general, because they want most of us gone, because most of us are just breeders and feeders.
Yeah, and then it comes to the question, how do you get to 100%? How do you get yourself to the state of mind that you are going to do this? You are committed. You're not doing it out of a negative. Now, this is important, because it happens a lot where people are negatively charged. They just put it on a different hat, and they try transcending their inner discord with a different costume. You know,
yeah, and they don't know how dangerous they are to themselves or to other people when they do it.
Yeah, well, that's, again, whatever you've done to fool yourself, the worst that someone can do to someone else is give you the tools to fool yourself. They'll never fool you. You have to be discerning. And those that have it have the responsibility to continue on the path. In other words, if you're there, if there's someone.
You just told me I'm freaking doomed, is what you said.
No. Au contraire. This is what I'm saying is, if ever you can always put up the tool that you've learned in your experience, that if something has caused you fear, doubt, confusion, pain, anxiety, guilt, shame, anything negative, Any of those, that means you don't understand. Well, to get to 100% means you start by being excruciatingly honest. We talked about that in previous shows. And then coming to a place of direction so that you have a reason for being in your comic book shop, or you have a reason in being in your marriage, or you have a reason for carrying a weapon if you need to. You have to have purpose. Each one of these steps that you make have reason. And to do that, that means that if you're gaining knowledge from, say, a media source, you're gathering it not to be indoctrinated. You're gathering it there to obtain what is useful for you at the time. Okay? I like looking at the weather now and then, because I want to know if I'm playing a performance like we did the other day, if it's going to be raining on us. Okay? It was very, very windy, a little bit challenging, I'll say. But we played at a golf course. It was a fantastic, group of people. They were dancing, and the wind was blowing like gusts of 40 miles an hour, and we were still playing. You know, I had a reason for being there. Although it was hard to play, I loved playing music, and we all endured because we were committed musicians, even in the elements. Okay. I mean, if it started a thunderstorm or something, we would have said, okay, you know, we got to back in. But my point is that it'll energize you when you realize that you're doing things with a purpose. Right. And I totally understand when someone says to me that I want to try this to see where it takes me. Okay, and that's a viable reason. If you don't know, you don't know. But you're putting yourself in a different position when you've got the state of mind know better.
Yeah, that's the point, right? Yeah.
That's how you get to 100%, is because you will you'll allow yourself to explore, right? But don't sell yourself a bill of goods.
You got to be honest with yourself. I don't know if we stress this enough, if we use that word or that particular phrasing with that word in it often enough, but that's the reality of it. You've got to be honest with yourself. You know what the hell you're doing. You are consciously aware. You are in your person. How the level of consciousness is absolutely up to you, barring any sort of physical and mental incapability. And if you have those, that's when you seek help. That's when you look to somebody, a Dr. Dean Lloyd, for an answer, for a solution, because you can't, you're not capable of creating that solution for you. But damn it, we're all in this. We're all completely aware, and you've got to be honest with yourself. You know when you're doing something wrong. You know when you're doing something right. You feel it yourself. And boy, stop following government. Stop taking it as a source of good or a source of inspiration, because man, they're screwing this whole thing up, and they're certainly not making it any easier for the rest of us.
It's because they're lost. I mean,
right. That's it. Yeah.
They don't know how to handle it.
They're not any better than the rest of us. They're playing this game with reality, and they're calling it politics. It's a little game. It's called politics. Some of us get to play. Some of us don't. And the ones that figure out how to play it really well can really manipulate other people into basically subsidizing their reality, and it's whatever reality they want when they get to a certain level.
Yeah, and we ever make a mistake and pay for it? we're kind of navigating our way through a toxic world. All right, that means toxic emotionally, toxic physically. There's a lot of toxicity going around. But if they're going to consult, say, someone like myself, I can only help that person as much as I help themselves, right? If I'm competent in something and I can show them how it works, that will help them. And the next best thing to doing it for yourself is doing it for helping someone else with it, right? So, but you got to have it. And in order to give you the tools, I have to explain how we know when it's time to open ourselves up to something new or put our guard up like you do.
Well, of course you do, because you have to know whether or not the person that you're trying to help is capable of understanding that need, that they have to know that that's a fact. It's a reality. It's a step.
So let's concentrate on that for just a moment, because you pointed out part of our process is to learn how to be the skillful giver. And to do that, that means we have to be discerning enough to know that if we're giving energy to something, are we feeding their inadequacies, their confusion, or are we putting up something that they're open to? You have to test the waters. You know, I have a group of people that I truly care about that are just not open to some of the things that I offer, and I know that. So I had to try,
right.
I had to share and see if it went anywhere, but I could tell the resistance went up right away, and I had to make a judgment call. I had to decide whether or not I was going to continue on to explain how it worked, or they just weren't ready. You see,
that's
part of our discernment, being a skillful giver. Now, right now, we're seeing a major, I want to say, a contraction in our culture. It's not open to things. They're grasping for information and hoping it'll get them out of their desperate state. Right. That's the state of mind that they're in. They're in a state of desperation. So,
well, and it works as a distraction at the same time. Well, you can say I'm collecting information, but what you're really doing is distracting yourself from doing anything about anything around you that you may or may not have just recently received information about.
Right. So to get to this place of being committed, or if you want to use the word committed, that's great. But I say I'm all in. When I do
all
that,
in.
I give it everything. But I have to remember that I have to take time for myself. If I don't, I'm not going to recharge. And we're very often overextending ourselves.
That's a conversation that we have to have. I know we hit on that, and I hit on it a lot myself because I try to remind people that when you take a day off, you need to take a day off. That doesn't mean do stuff for the family. It doesn't mean do other extra work that you didn't get done. You'll be just take a day. We got to have that conversation. Dr. Lloyd, I hate to do it to you, man, but we got to go.
Okay, let's have it for next month. Okay.
Sounds fantastic. Take care, my friend. And the rest of you, we will see you next week. I have a special guest. It'll be a tape conversation anyway. But we'll see you next week. Take care.
Truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.